In this first reading, we have an example. Now, you may wonder why the word of the Lord would spend so much time on this tragic figure, Saul. Well, one of the reasons is to show us what happens when we don't deal with our vices. They take over. Here's a man who wants to kill David because he's jealous. His son talks him out of it, and he swears, as the Lord lives, you see, I'll never touch him. We'll probably read in a day or so how he tried to pin him to the wall with his spear. In other words, he's given in to something inside himself, jealousy mostly, and it's so dominating that he doesn't have authority over his own life. And it's going to follow an inexorable pattern. It's ultimately going to lead to his own death and to that of Jonathan. In very unfortunate circumstances in a battle, but he had gone to consult a witch about the outcome of the battle. Now, the Word of God wants to warn us in our own little way, perhaps little, if we don't look out for what's in our life, if we let it have authority over us, we're going to lose out on a lot. And so will the church. In the gospel, we have a whole other situation. And so do the solution to the problem we just saw in the first reading. This is a text, it's a famous text. They call texts like this summary statements. Mark or whoever, Matthew, sums up a whole dimension of our Lord's activity and just creates this sense of exuberance, of movement. A large number of people followed him from Galilee and from Judea. So that's the north and the south. And they come from Idumea and beyond the Jordan. So that's up in the northeast and then across the river. From the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. That's up in Lebanon. So you see, they're coming from a long way around because they've heard of Jesus. And they think that he can do them some good. Now, what they're mostly after is healing, but not only. In fact, he had to have a boat ready, and he pushed out a bit from shore, and he preached to them from there. Our text tells us he had cured many. And as a result, those who had diseases were pressing upon him to touch him. Of course they were. Of course they were. They were sick. And this is a country with no hospitals, not much medical knowledge, certainly no health insurance. They were sick. So of course they were pressing in on him. The unclean spirits couldn't stand in his presence. They fall down and shout, "You are the Son of God." Now, that's a picture of a dimension of our Lord's life. Can you imagine? You know, Israel's a small country. You can walk from the south to the north in about 3 days. All of this going on, all of this presence of God, bringing healing and deliverance from spirits. It's making known the presence of God, making known his compassion, his love. That's what all these signs and wonders do, and why we still need them to preach the gospel and still have them. The third dimension of today is this Feast of St. Agnes. We just heard, factually, we don't know much about her, but she's one of those young women who signify the freedom of the gospel. In this culture, women had no choices. You will marry Joe. That's that. Someone would prefer to die for Christ and remain a virgin, some saw right away that this would ultimately disrupt the whole Roman Empire, because this will change the whole social structure. Women will have choices, and that's going to ruin the structure as it exists. And that was besides the charge of Christianity, that was the other reason why so many of these young women were martyred. You got Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia. We hear all about them in the first canon, right? And why are they there? They're there because they are the preachers of a whole new dimension of humanity. They fell in love with Christ. They wanted to serve only Christ. They wanted to be there and serve Him. And they opened up a whole dimension of human life. And many of them died by doing it. And the church has liturgies, in the liturgy about some of these young women, there are marvelous passages. In the St. Cecilia, the fellow who wanted to marry him, his name was Valerianus. Now we're talking about very, very prominent family. Ceciliani were one family, the Valeriani were another. Very highly placed in Roman society. And so, in one of the antiphons, we sing, Valeriane, amatorum habeo. I already have a lover. And he gives me pearls and rubies and diamonds and love, and I've given my heart to him. This whole understanding of people loving Jesus Christ. And I thought it's worth reflecting on that, because we get used to the Gospels. We get used to these things. But think about it as it affected all these lives, and the beauty of it, and the courage of it. And take courage from it to live this life that God's given us, to preach it. Yes, it's always disruptive, because it takes us away from a life. Can you imagine if we could, right now, show people what a Christian life is compared to the life they've been condemned to live by their own ignorance of the gospel? And why are they ignorant of the gospel? Because we don't preach it. Because we don't preach it. We don't let people know what a treasure we have. So the last thing we can do is condemn them. But let them see this way of life, to know Christ, to know Him personally, to love Him, to give your life to Him. And so we too can be disruptive and break the power of darkness if we'll take the trouble to live the gospel and to really talk about it.